Now, this weekend, also in Dublin, Taylor Swift was playing three nights, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. 150,000 fans dancing the night away for over 3 hours of entertainment each night. And Taylor Swift told fans she broke a record at the Aviva on Sunday night during the final concert of her trio of sold-out gigs at the Dublin venue, with a host of famous faces, including Travis Kelce and Julia Roberts, cheering her on. Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce, Hollywood icon Julia Roberts, music legend Stevie Nicks, and Bridgerton actress Florence Hunt were among the stars spotted at the concert. And it was, she told fans, it was a thrill and an honour to inform them that they made the Eras tour the first tour to ever sell out the Dublin 4 venue three nights in a row, as she continued breaking records on her Blockbusters Era tour. It's been running for almost 2 years now. As she kicked off the concert, she addressed a 50,000 strong audience by saying, "That was a hell of a way to welcome us. Nights 1 and 2 were just the warm-up shows for tonight," she said. And she went on from there to play for over 3 hours or so. 150,000 people. What a weekend. Were you at it? Give us your reviews. Here's a little bit of what she sounds like. There you go. That's a little bit of Taylor Swift playing last night. That song, Clara Bow, that was dedicated to Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac, who was in the crowd yesterday. And she talked about the influence that Stevie Nicks had on her career, and her career as it has happened, as it unfolded now, to her being, I suppose, the biggest pop star on the planet, certainly at the moment. And that's the way it looks now. She wasn't as big or as famous at all, I suppose, this time. When was it? 15 years ago, when my next guest met her in a record store in Nashville. Dermot Moriarty of Sounds Country fame, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shireen. Good morning to everybody. How are you all?
We're very good, Dermot, very good. There's a lot of very happy Taylor Swift fans in different parts of the country today, 150,000 of them trekking up and down from Dublin to see her play and sell out the tree or the Aviva.
You wouldn't imagine, you could still hear her.
You could indeed. Tell me your story. You met her in Nashville, is that right?
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, I used to go to Nashville nearly every year up to recent years, and I went into there in this top music shop, and I would live in music shops in Nashville, and that would be a huge, like a supermarket in any of our towns. And I went in, and there was a lady sitting behind a kind of a table signing her albums that she was selling her new CD. Well, the record company was selling them, and she was just presenting herself as the artist. And I spoke to her briefly, and I looked at the CD. I didn't recognize her or recognize the CD or her music either. And I just picked up a flyer, and I continued on my journey. And it was only the last number of years when I discovered the flyer that I had that was the lady I was after meeting that day.
Mother, so you had the flyer from the time you met her. She was in a record store selling her albums, basically.
She was launching her album, and record company were selling it, but she was signing copies of the autograph. She wasn't handling dollars or anything like that. She was just like you'd be launching a book, sitting there and signing copies of her CD.
Yeah.
And of recent years then that I picked my flyer out of my music room and discovered who this lady is. This lady still is a big, big star 15 years later.
My God, that's unbelievable. So she kind of got underway in Nashville. She worked for a number of songwriters such as Troy Verges, Brett Breavers, Brett James, the Warren Brothers, and she formed a working relationship with Liz Rose as well. And that's where she kind of honed her writing skills in Nashville.
Yeah, she was a country star before she became a pop star, and people that would listen to me on Sounds Country for the last, would I believe, 34 years in a couple of weeks' time.
34 years.
That would be listening to me, they'd know that I wouldn't be playing a kind of poppy, rocky country, so that is why I haven't played her. I don't know if I've ever played her, to be honest about it, but maybe I was wrong, maybe I was right, but anyway, she's right anyway, and that's all that matters.
That's for sure.
The amount of dollars, but I mean, that's
$4.1 billion, Dermot, is what she's earning from the. No, it's 2-year tour, and she's a year and a half through it. But she $4.1 billion is her personal take home from the tour, which is frightening.
Jerry, I used to come back from the Galtimore with about $700 or $800. I was listing it that time. When I had the band, but it's a very strange one. I mean, I've met so many of these people. If you have time, I got a bus one day out of Nashville to go to a concert in Chattanooga, and Gene Watson was playing there, and I went in to the big huge park, and I went up near the stage, and his tour bus was there, and the Arctic was there for the equipment, and he was standing there, and I went up talking to him, and I told him where I was from, not that I was a country music presenter, but because the fact that I was from Ireland, he was very interested, and he said, I'm doing a show tomorrow, he said, the Music Row, a live program, a TV program. He said, take this hat, take this t-shirt, wear them tomorrow, he said, I'll have your name at the door. It was a Crook and Chase country show, and there was a place for me to sit, and I was wondering why I was put in a certain place, because during the recording of the program, I got the lady in the hotel that was saying she recorded it for me. I was sitting in a place where the camera would be on me fairly often.
Oh, and yes.
I met that man there. I met him the day before, and I met that man several times since. And he actually walked into the studio where you are in Killarney about 8 or 9 years ago when he was doing a gig in the INEC, because his promoter brought him in. He sat with me in that studio where I sit inside there for at least a half an hour. That man is from Austin, Texas, Houston in Texas, Superman. And, you know, I met a lot of people, Porter Wagoner, Vernon Gosden, but I'll tell you another story, if you have time. I went to another gig in Nashville, a concert, and I had to get a taxi to get there, and I headed for the gates to go in, and I had a camera in my hand, and the security said, you cannot take in your camera, sir. I keep it for you, or let's put it back in your car. I said, I don't have a car, I came by taxi. He said, where are you from? I told him. My goodness, this fella was over the moon, because I was Irish, and when I was coming out, he was waiting for me with my camera, and he took me backstage to a barbecue with Ken Platt, Oak Ridge Boys, Emilio Harris, Don Williams, they were all there. And the man from Taylor Bowl with him eating burger and chips. Because that was
unbelievable.
Irish.
Well, look, it just, Dermot, it just goes to show, like, you can make it big in country, and you can go on, you can be a crossover star. Do you think she is that big because she honed her skills somewhere like Nashville, musically and writing and all of that? She came to an academy there, effectively.
Well, I would think that, you know, most record companies in the States own radio stations, and they, if a record company has a new artist, they'll pump that artist out 24 hours a day, maybe 4 or 5 times a day for their songs, and that's how it all happens. And if it doesn't happen, then they'll dump you after 2 or 3 years if you're not selling.
It's a vicious business from that point of view.
It is indeed.
It's cutthroat.
Yeah, absolutely. But before I was working in Killarney Autos one Saturday, and I got a call from Billy Began. He had a music shop here in Killarney, and he was after ringing the house here, and Rita told him I was working. So anyway, he said, there's someone here who wants to talk to you. So he put this man on to me, Glenn Campbell. was looking for me in Killarney. His record company told him that when he come to Killarney to look for me, and I went out that night myself in Sinead with a great night for him. He was doing a gig in the INEC. But all them little things happen for a reason, I suppose, really because of we being Irish number one and because of our music that we play number two.
Yeah, yeah, amazing, amazing stuff.
Anyway. And come here, Jerry, I was
yes.
in...
You weren't tempted to go, by the way. To the Aviva.
Pardon?
You weren't tempted to go to the Aviva this weekend.
It's not the music. I wouldn't even go to Nashville anymore now because the music has changed. The music has changed for a younger audience to have more money to spend, and that is why the music has changed, because it's you know the story yourself. But Jerry, I was in Austin on one occasion, and I was coming home the following morning early, and I went into a music shop to buy a Gap Brooks CD because it was just coming out, and he had been on radio, and his first CD, and the man in the record shop said, I cannot sell you that CD, he said, until midnight tonight. He said, I would lose my license. And I said, I'm going home. I said, I'm going home to Ireland. I said, and I won't be around at midnight. He said, well, look, do you take the CD? He said, I won't lose my license because I didn't sell it. And them simple things happen for people like you and people from this country. When they like us, they love us.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Dermot, listen, look, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for telling us that story. That's Dermot Moriarty and the time he met Taylor Swift in Nashville in 2009 in a record store. She was there at the launch of her album. Fearless was the album. 2009 that she launched, well before she was anywhere near world famous, that's for sure. She certainly is a global icon now. 150,000 people over the weekend in Cropark. And how did you get on, by the way, to and from Cropark in the Aviva, I should say, and to and from the Aviva if you were at it? How was the public transport? Did it survive? It seems like it did, despite all the things that were on. So fair play to the traffic systems, the Gardaí, the public servants are out there working, the ambulance crews. There was at one stage there was a car that drove onto the Lewis line on Saturday afternoon. That caused a bit of disruption as well. For some reason, a van, I think, drove onto a Lewis line somewhere. But how did you get on getting in and around Dublin this weekend and getting into and out of it? You might tell us that story as well.